To be here today, thank the Lord for allowing this day to come and for all that He's done. I think of a song that the Brights sing. I thought they might sing it a while ago, maybe before we go, but look what God has done for you. Look what He's brought you through. He's a good God, ain't He?
Yes, sir.
Faithful God and friend. No one like Him. I was thinking about real salvation. I'm thankful for real salvation, ain't you? Deliverance from sin. I've heard it expressed different ways of people expressing it. Back home, as a fella said, his daddy would talk about soul thrilling and sin killing. Salvation. I've heard people say that it's better felt than told. I've heard of many ways that people explain salvation. I'm glad it's a change in a man. Makes a different person. An old black preacher said, if you is what you was, then you ain't. And so what he was saying is that salvation will make a difference in you. And I said the other night that the best place to see it is in the mirror. I'm glad I'm saved. I know that many of you are. The Spirit bears witness and we get hooked up and connect in the Lord. And we know that there's a connection with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. But I'm thankful that I know that for myself. When it comes down to the end of the way, I'll need it. And I need it now. I need it daily. But I really need it then. Some people said this back home, salvation's good to live with, but it's going to be better to die with. A man in a book I have of the Upper Cumberland area in Tennessee and the South Central Kentucky churches, I got a history book. It tells a lot of stories about the churches and things that happened. Had two brothers that was preachers. One of them believed in being born again and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the other one believed that salvation was all in a form of religion and then baptism. He was what we call back home a Church of Christ. Don't know if y'all have much of that here. But the Church of Christ minister grew sick and dying. And his brother who had told him all along that there was more to it than that. And he would just kind of make light of him. At the end of the way, here's what he said to his brother. He said, well, the doctrine that I've preached and the emphasis that I've put on just being a good person, he said, it seems like it's been all right to live with. But he said, it ain't good to die with. And he began to pray and preach to his brother and tell him God was merciful. Preached to him and prayed with him and wouldn't leave his side until his brother admitted he had been in the wrong and sought God and begged for mercy and found salvation and told his brother he is ready to go. He would see him in the glory land. And he died and he said it told him told what color horse he had, and he rode from house to house all over the country. He said, my brother have found salvation. And so don't leave this world without knowing that you're saved, that you have met with God. So the Lord is the only one who has the power or the authority to let you know that you're saved. And I've talked to Brother Logan a little bit about it, about, you know, how things have happened in these mountains and different places have different things that take place. But salvation is more than just a head knowledge or a verbal confession or a name and claim some verses. Right. Salvation is a real experience in your heart. Yes. Where the guilt that God has brought an awareness to you through a spiritual work. Yes. And a burden on your heart and you realizing you're a sinner and coming to God at being drawn by the Holy Spirit and brought down and broken before God. Right. And raised to new life. Yes. Salvation is a wonderful thing, and there's a lot of people who don't have it. There's a lot of people who don't have it. They may appear to be good moral people and good neighbors, but that's by man's measure. But we don't measure by man's measure when it comes down to spiritual matters. We have to compare ourselves to the holiness of God, and we come very short. The Bible said there's none good. No, not one. I've heard people go around to the casket. Well, if anyone made it to heaven, they sure did. But if they did, it sure wasn't because they was good. There's none good, no, not one. We have to have the righteousness of God imputed to us through the finished work at Calvary where Jesus went and paid our sin debt. And if that's not appropriated over to you and if that has not been put upon your account, then you're in your sins to this day. And as you face God, That's how you'll be in a judgment. And so if anyone here is here today and Holy Spirit's revealed to you in this meeting that things aren't well with your soul and you haven't made peace yet, I would tell you that it's worth going after. It's something that you need. And I pray for you and I pray that you find the Lord precious to your soul and you can say that you have a no-soul salvation. I'm thankful for what God's done in the meeting this far. I don't know altogether what God is doing or has done. I can't see every heart and read the mind and know exactly what all God's done. But we know He's been here in a great way. And we know that He has blessed and helped hearts. It's been a blessing. I'm so grateful to the Lord that He's allowed us to be here and to witness Him. And I appreciate your prayers and your attention as I've tried to preach. And all that every act of kindness that's been shown to us toward me and my family. And I do want to thank you again. I want to read this morning out of 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to preach with the help of the Lord to the young, well, to everyone, but whatever the Lord's got to say to you through His Word, I'm fine with that. I want to just be faithful in what He's asking me to do. But it's been on my heart, and I feel assured and reassured that I'm traveling right. I want to preach, and I know there's been the three professions that I know of in this meeting that people have professed faith in the Lord. And I want to preach to you what the Lord's laid on my heart. There's several things that I could say as far as a title, but I want to preach this thought out of this scripture here in 2 Peter chapter 1 about adding to your faith and the importance of adding to your faith and what it will do for you. I thought about it when it first came on my heart. I said, Lord, that's Brother Logan. He's their pastor. And he'll preach them pastoral type messages. But if I can be of a help and the Lord's leading that way, then I know that that's what I need to do. And He has just, like I said, over and over in my heart as I think about it this morning, I would be drawn to this scripture. This is talking about the continuation of the Christian walk. And the importance of it and the blessings that come and the benefits that come with walking with God. I'm glad in a day like this we can walk with God. There's very little said about Enoch in the Bible, but it does say this before he was translated. He had this testimony that he walked with God. And one day the Lord said, Enoch, come up and spend the day with me. And he's been there ever since. And he's going to do the same thing for me. And he's going to do the same thing for you if you're a child of God. I do believe that this life as a child of God can be a life of victory or it can be a life of defeat. I believe that our sonship never changes once we're made a child of God through faith, through the born-again experience. Our sonship, who we are as a child of God, will never change. But our relationship with God can be much hindered. And as far as that, or you might say fellowship with God can be much hindered. David, sin came into his life and caused him to not experience the joy that he once had of walking with God and communing with God. And I believe that God has got a good life for every believer if they'll walk in the path that He gives them to walk in. And there will be valleys, but that believer will never walk through the valley alone. If he's a true sheep, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley, the last valley, the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I believe the Lord will walk with His people from the very day that they put their faith in Him and are regenerated and He gives them His Spirit until the day that they step off on that beautiful shore. And I want that for you. And I believe that we're missing that and have been for a long time. As I said, Brother Rondell back home before he died, he would say this, that Christians or believers are living way beneath their privileges. And I believe that we are. You may not be a shouter, but you may not ever be that expresses yourself in that way. But there'll be something that a gift that God will give you. And there'll be a joy that you can experience when God fills you. You may just sit and cry. You might just be one of those people that just laugh. You might be one of those people that just put your hands in the air and don't say anything. But there is a special touch that comes from God. You might just be one of those people that's just as faithful and steady as a rock. There can be a mistake made, and that some people are more emotional than others, and some people usually label them people as more spiritual. But that's not always so. I tell you, that spiritual person will be faithful, and they'll be there. I mean, when you look up, they'll be there. They won't miss church for if they stump their toe, or they won't look for a reason and squabble with their mate about who's going to stay home and take care of the sick kid. They have a desire to be faithful to the house of God. They'll be faithful in prayer. They'll be a light in the community. They may not be, like I said, a stirred up person all the time in the service, but they'll be a light. They'll be a witness for the Lord. Y'all know what I'm getting at here. The words aren't just flowing from me, but some of the best Christians that I've ever known were more so quiet. But I would tell you, if the fire's burning, don't let the devil blow it out. If you in this day there is a suppression that has got upon God's people, and a silence that has come upon God's people, and a formalism that has got in the churches, and nobody wants nobody to get stirred up, and nobody to get out of their comfort zone, and nobody to make too much noise. But heaven's going to be a place of joy and a place of rejoicing and shouting. It's not going to be quiet and dead over there. No, it's not going to be a funeral, but it's going to be a celebration that'll break out one day, and it's probably already going on, ain't it? They've been rejoicing in heaven this week in the presence of the angels over the sinners that have repented. And we're going to join in that band one of these days after a while, sing a song that the angels can't sing, and they'll step back because they don't know anything about their demon power of God. They don't know anything about being born again. They're created beings and they worship God, and I thank God for the angels, but one day we'll sing a song that the angels cannot even sing. So I'm glad I'm going home one day, but I want to preach with the help of the Lord out of this scripture. You read with us now, if you would, in 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He said, I'm writing to the people that's got the same thing that I've got. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all the things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these things ye might be partakers of the divine nature, and having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And he says, and besides this, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. I believe these are very important scriptures. Many times in the past, I have had the Lord to lay this upon my heart and to charge young believers in the Lord. Now, some of you have, maybe all of you, I don't know your past, that have been going to church for a good while, maybe all your life. But I want to say, when we talk about going to church, in Georgia, North Georgia, it's pretty common for them to use this phrase. They'll say, "Now we went to meeting last night." And what they're meaning is, they're not just talking about driving down to the building and assembling. They're talking about having a meeting, a Holy Spirit a meeting where God was present, where they met with the Lord and they met one another, and God showed up and God met with them in power. And so I believe that I want to say this: if you got born again in this meeting, you're a babe in Christ. You're a babe. You're a born again, newborn babe in Christ, and there it is as natural for you to want the Word of God. It is a great sign that you want the Word of God, that you want to go to church, that you want to feel God's presence. It's just as natural for you to do that as it is for Brother Logan's little girl Naomi to cry for that milk. You got to have it to survive. And it's in you through divine nature. When you're born again, you're given the very nature of God. The very life of God is put in you when you're born again. But you're a babe. And you know, in life, you've got to crawl before you walk. And you know, you grow in grace. And we want to grow in grace. And the Lord wants you to grow in grace. We never get full grown in the Lord, really. But we can become what the Word of God uses this word called mature or perfect, and that means mature. We can become mature Christians. I believe we can regress, actually, fall back. Some people get so close to God, or they go so far with God, and they say, "I believe I'm close as I want to get. I'll stay right here." But the fact is that the church is going forward, and God's going forward, and so you just can't stay right here. You got to go with it, or really, all you're doing is falling back. This is a forward thing. There is a progression in this, and you got to go with it. God will always be showing you something about yourself. He'll always be teaching you something about your character, your personality, your soul, letting light come into your heart, some area you need to improve in to strengthen you for the work that He's got for you to do. He'll always be working on you. And He'll not overload you to the point that you can't handle it. I thought about the disciples where He said to them, I've got many things to say, many things to tell you, but you're not able to bear it. And so, you know, a Christian, when he's born again first, he gets the milk of the Word of God. And he's supposed to grow with that milk, and he's supposed to grow in maturity. And as he grows as a believer, it won't be long till through the Word of God and through the man of God, God will cut him off a good slice of meat. And gotta give him some strong meat. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age. If you go to give some of these little ones, especially his little one, a big old piece of meat, well, they'll get choked on it. And that is something. And I think a lot of people, as I preach tonight about walking on water, they expect the young convert to walk on water. It ain't that way, friend. We gotta grow. But there is a growing process that you can experience, and it's a joyful thing. It's a life of there's some times that you'll fall down, but you get up and go again. You'll get a bruise or two, a boo-boo, amen, in serving God, but you got to get up and go again. Lick your wounds and get up and go again. You need somebody around you. Like today, when we was going out to the van, here come Loretta burning it up, I mean a flying, on that gravel, hung her toe, whopped the ground, and she said, and I looked around and said, "You all right, hon?" She got up and said, "Yeah, I'm all right." And she went on again. And we need one another for times like that. I'll tell you, be sensitive as a child of God to your brothers and sisters. It might be every now and then you need to look at somebody. If they come in that door under a load, maybe you need to say, "Are you all right? I care. Are you all right?" Amen. We need to care about one another. And that's part of what is in this scripture. I'll try to be just as brief and simple as I can with the help of God. But I looked at these definitions, and just to help you, I'm not a big one to write a sermon out. I'm not real big on that, but that doesn't affect God. I mean, none of that. God's not bound to any style. God's not bound to any way. It's just got to be God in it, and God speaking through His man and reaching the heart. But I did write down these definitions just for accuracy and to be a help to you. But He said, add to your faith virtue. That's the first thing that He mentioned. And virtue means a high moral standard. Amen to that. Oh, how we need morals in our day. Now, we don't need self-righteousness. In other words, we don't need people who say, I do this and I do that, and that makes me right, and I'm better than you, and buddy, I'm really... That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a God-fearing Christian, a person that the Bible says that every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What in simplicity, I said the other night, the woman that was caught in a very act of adultery, when the Lord forgave her, He said, go and sin no more. Don't go back to that same old life. Don't go back to them same old ways. God will lead you, as He said in the Psalm 23, in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I have a high moral standard. There's not enough of that being preached, I feel like, in our day. Christians ought to act like Christians. Christians ought to talk like Christians. They were first called Christians at Antioch. Them people, the world called them that. We've been called a lot of things in life, but the world called them that. They didn't have to go around with a shirt on or a crucifix around their neck, and you don't either, for your co-worker or your neighbor or your friend to know you're a Christian. Walk with Christians are supposed to be honest. Christians are supposed to be people of their word. Christians are supposed to be faithful to church. Christians are supposed to be what they say they are. Amen to that. There's a high moral standard. If there was sin in your life, hidden sin, no one knows about, God has saved you from that. God has saved you from its penalty. God has saved you from its power. Just because we get saved, we are not immune to temptation. No, sir. We're not immune to temptation. We're not immune to it. But the Lord said, add to your faith virtue. Have a high moral standard and a moral character and be something special for God. If someone says, I believe Christians ought not drink, cuss. I believe they ought not drink and cuss. I believe they ought not gossip on Facebook. I believe they ought not make smart, slurry remarks. Amen. I believe a Christian ought to have a high moral character. I believe a Christian lady ought to dress like a Christian lady, act like a Christian lady. I'm not dressed in you and not measuring your skirt and putting all this law upon you or stipulation upon you, and who you are as a Christian is more than the clothes on your body. But friend, people, you say you can't judge a book by its cover. That's the way the world judges you.
Right.
A lot of times. You'll never influence them. I want to say this right here. I had a friend who in Alabama was a preacher. He told me this. He's my friend. He said, brother, I didn't have no preaching much growing up. I didn't have no just follow up. He said, I was just saved. And there's a lot of people that's just saved. I'm not minimizing being just saved. But salvation is not just a one-time deal, and I'm glad it's good. Got it on the shelf, got that took care of, and I'm going on my way. That's not salvation. He said, I was out there in the front yard with a little old skimpy pair of shorts on, with flip-flops on, a weed eating. And he said, God had dealt with my heart, and I told him about the church that He had called me to preach. And he said, the Jehovah's Witnesses come down there to where I was. And he said, I was out there a weed eating, had my sunglasses on. He said, I was kind of a pretty boy, you know. And he said, they come up, and he said, they got to talking to me, and I quoted a few Bible verses. He said, I was young in the Lord. And he said, I said something to him about being a preacher. He said, they stepped back and looked at me and said, you a preacher? He said, buddy, God smote my heart. And he said, I realized that my impression on people had a lot to do with my influence on people. And that's what I'm preaching to you. You need to look like, act like, be a Christian at the workplace. The Bible says always be ready to give an account, to answer. To give up, tell someone, whoever asketh you of the reason of the hope that lies within you in meekness and fear. And from what I see, looking at the Word of God in that scenario, it looks like you got the believer and the sinner who has no hope, the believer who does have a hope. You got the sinner, the unbeliever here, who keeps looking at the sinner, says, there's something about them that I can see that they have something that I don't have. I'm going to go over there and say, what is it that you've got? That's the way I see it. Instead of us going to the sinner, there is such a power that the sinner will come to us. According to the Word of God. So I'll tell you, it's very important that you have a high moral standard. And this is a growing process. This is growing. This is not that I'm up here real high and saying, now you're saved, you've got to change this. Now you're saved, you've got to change that. I saw a woman get saved one time in church. Her hair was about like mine, and she was a woman. She got saved and went back to the pew, and she sat down, and she got saved. Amen. God saves sinners. And she sat down at the pew, and this lady leaned up and said, now, honey, that you've got saved, God's going to deal with you, and He's going to tell you to start letting your hair grow. I thought, let her breathe a little. Let her breathe a little. Give her some time. It'll break you. You can't expect a babe to walk like a 40-year-old. And that's not what I'm saying. But I'm talking about adding. I'm talking about letting it build up like them little blocks at the kids. If you'll get you a prayer life and you go and say, Lord, what would help me to be a better Christian? Give me something today. Let me know in my life. Just be honest with God. Say, Lord, you know best than He does. I want to give you my life. He'll put His finger on something. He'll put it on there just so kind and gentle. And He'll lead you along. He's not going to load you down so far that you're going to come in next Sunday feeling like an old dirty dog. No, you're His child. You're His child. But add to your faith moral excellence.
Yes, sir.
Add that to it. Add to understand that you're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit, that's inwardly, and in your members, that's your hands, feet, your body, which are God's. Let no evil communication proceed out of your mouth. You say, preacher, I've got a problem with this. I've got a problem with that. The Lord will work on you.
Yeah.
I don't doubt it. He works on me.
Yes,
I'll get to some of that. What about, so add, be a moral person. This is what the Word of God says. Add to your faith virtue. And then add to virtue knowledge. Now we acquire knowledge through, it's information acquired through skill. And that's experience.
Yes.
And Lord, don't save people, make them know-it-alls. But knowledge is know-how. The know-how. The disciples who knew the Lord, who had been called of God, come to Him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. It would be good for you as a believer to add to your faith the knowledge of the know-how to pray. Some people think praying is just, but there's a know-how to pray. There's a know-how to come to God. They didn't know how to pray. And you don't know how to pray. But the Word of God says we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. So groanings are not always words. There'll be many times in your life you know you need something, may not know what you need, but you just know you need God, and you know He's got it, and you go to Him, and sometimes you'll go and pray, and it ain't that you need to say anything, God already knows. Just tell Him you're there and listen. Get that knowledge, get that know-how, get that understanding. You need understanding. You need to add to your faith understanding. It's not just getting saved is not all of a sudden, I've got this Christian thing figured out. It's not that way.
You've
got to grow in that area. You've got to add to that. You've got to add to that knowledge. Then you've got to add to knowledge temperance. And temperance is self-control. It's usually associated with the absence of alcohol a lot of times that you'd find. In the Word of God, drunkenness was preached against, and the abuse of alcohol and different things in there was mentioned. And then the control of the flesh and the passions of the flesh. In the last days, one of the great signs of the last days that men would be incontinent. And that means they have a lack of self-control. Your vessel, your body. There's a young boy who made a profession at our church, and I baptized him the other day, and he had a girlfriend in his past, and he talked about he'd love for her to come back into his life. And I said, that would be wonderful, Austin, if it's the will of God. But I'm going to tell you right now, keep your courtship clean. I said, God saved you, keep it clean. And we live in a day when people are living, and believers are living in fornication. I don't like to use the word shack up, but that's what they do. I try to keep as things as clean as I can and don't like the lingo of the world, but some preachers would say shack up like shepherd dogs, you know, and I try to preach a decent message, but that's what it is, friend. It's living like animals, and it's not decent. And God's people, He said this ought not be named once among you.
Amen.
I walked the aisle at 26 pure to my wife, and my wife was pure. That doesn't make us righteous. But it was the right thing.
Right.
And I fought a great battle as a young man, as a young believer. In school, I could tell you some stories that take up a lot of time today, but just because my mama had a talk with me, Brother Don, at 10 years old, I got off the school bus and I said, Mama, I said, they was using words that I ain't never heard, and they was telling me this and that, and I don't understand what they're talking about. It was all filthy talk. And at 10 years old, my mama said, Son, she said, that what they're talking about is not meant to be talked about like that. She said, I know this sounds gross to you now. You know, when my little girls, if I was to kiss my wife on the cheek, they'll say, oh gosh. You know. But she said that's an intimacy, and she didn't use that word, but that's how I understood it. She said it's a beautiful thing that's meant to be enjoyed by two people that are married.
Amen.
And she said, you don't need to talk about it like that. Don't ever do it. And God used my little mama to put that in my heart. And all the way through, brother, I could never, I told you the other night, the first time God ever chastised me was in the seventh grade. That was what it is. There's talking filth in the hallway. I didn't know a whole lot about it, but I decided I was going to be not looked down upon, be in, you know. And I said one thing, and God smote my heart and said, you don't talk like that. You're my child. You don't talk like that. Well, I felt so bad. I went out and repented. I felt like Peter, like I denied the Lord. I went out, wept bitterly, and I repented. And they called me gay. They said, you don't got a girlfriend. You don't do this. You don't do that. What's wrong with you? Are you gay? I mean, really, I'm telling you, public school was hell for me. It really was, brother. I mean, it was awful. But it was good for me. By the grace of God, and His grace is sufficient. And I made her through, thank God. And I was able to keep my vessel because God was helping me, and He'll help you. He'll help you.
That's right.
I was real burdened here a while back about some folks that come to our church. They're not saved. This young girl, you know, she had gotten real pretty and developing into a young lady. And the Lord told me to go to their house. I didn't know anything other than I had a burden. And right before I went, my dad was working in a shop. And this boy's grandpa come up and was bragging about his grandson, about his maturity. It wasn't maturity, but it was immaturity that he was talking about and didn't know it. Just old foolish talk, you know. And Dad was talking to my mom that night, and he was talking about that boy, you know, and things that he was carrying on about that you're not supposed to talk about. It's not proper. It's not clean. There's no way else to preach this, is it? Just tell it like it is. And I didn't know this. And I went down there to that girl's house, and her mom and dad, and I stepped in to the house there, and I said, can I step in? And this girl was there. I made sure daddy was there. He was over here. Me and him's friends, we hunt together. He don't know God, but we hunt together, and I'm trying to do all I can to help him. I said, young lady, I said, you sure are beautiful. This ain't nothing wrong with being beautiful. I said, are you aware who made you pretty? I said, God did. But I said, I want you to understand that true beauty's in here. And being pretty, pretty is as pretty does, is what Miss Nelissa Grindstaff told us in the fourth grade. People don't talk like that anymore, but that's right. Pretty is as pretty does. And that's what, I like that too. And I said, God made you beautiful. He give you something precious. And I said, that's your purity. That's who you are as a young lady. And I said, God's got a special person someday that you can give yourself to legally. And He'll honor it, and He'll bless it.
Right.
But I said, these boys out here, I said, and I tried to, you know, I said, her mama was crying. And her mama had probably never had this talk to her because her mama never had that talk with her. But I said, young lady, I said, there's going to be many boys out here. They'll tell you they love you, and they don't know what love is. They'll tell you, and they'll promise you the world, and they ain't got nothing. But I said, they'll take from you what's yours. I said, it's yours. And I said, it's a gift from God. And I used these words, and a lot of young people, they don't know what I'm talking about, but she did, and you do. And I said, I just want to tell you that if you will stay pure, one day you will say, Brother Jeremy was right. And I'm so glad that I listened to what he said. And God loves you more than you'll ever know. Now, that girl needs to get saved, and she needs the power of the Holy Spirit inside. But you can't wait till a child gets old to teach them something. You don't need to just let them run loose till they're 16 and say, I'll say mine's probably accountable now, and take them down to church, expect the pastor in the church to pray them in and then let them go. That ain't the way. That ain't this way. But I told her that. And you know what? I don't know if it was that day. I believe it was almost instant. Somebody pulled up in the yard. And I looked, and it was that boy that my dad was so ashamed that he'd heard about. And I thought, I know why you sent me here, Lord. There's evil a-lurking. And there's evil a-working in the midst. And it'll work in your life. It'll ruin your testimony. Nobody's immune to this, friend. And we need God to protect us and to help us in these days. This world needs to see a people who walks in the fear of the Lord, who walks upright. And that we, like I said, we don't have to toot our own horn. We don't make our light shine. We let it shine.
Yes,
I am in rejection to a self-righteous attitude of a people who think that, boy, they're really something, that they have the holier-than-thou attitude. No, that ain't right. That's not the Christian spirit. At the end of the day, brother, we know where our help comes from. Amen. But we need temperance. We need the ability to control ourselves. Amen. I could preach to the sisters. And I said I was preaching. I'm preaching to everybody. But I could say that there's temptations that men and women both experience, that we just got to guard ourselves, and we need to develop this in our life, that we have control over ourselves, especially our bodies and the lust and the passions that it experiences. It says, add to temperance patience. I know I always have known what patience is. I've not always had a lot of it, but I know how important it is. My dad is a patient person. I can work on a piece of machinery about 3 minutes and I'm ready to set it afar. My daddy says, son, just walk away and do something else. But dad is patient. I'm glad God gave me a patient daddy. Daddy was patient in raising me. I'm going to say this, my daddy, I've never seen him shout. Only heard him testify a few times. I remember how proud I was the day he got back in church. He professed. He would tell me about it. The night I got saved, my daddy was on bended knees in the altar with me. And he didn't attend the whole meeting, but I know he was there the night I got saved. There was a little while that my dad was taught a strong work ethic. And my granddaddy, after they said that my granddaddy professed salvation and was a good, clean man, and he went and I was aggravated at him for years because why didn't he bring his family to church? And my aunt told me one day what happened, and I kind of had a soft spot in my heart, for I've never been through what he went through. In World War II, he went behind enemy lines. They was starving out, and he went behind enemy lines, and he stole some food, I guess you would say, because they was starving them out, and it was cold and bitter, and they caught him back there. I didn't know this till a couple years ago. He never told me, never told anybody that I know. Had to tell somebody, but it wasn't never talked about that I ever remember. I only know if my dad even knows this. But my aunt said that when Kurt, his name was Curtis, they said Kurt was the most handsome, nice, polite young man in all of Acresville. And he went off to war and he come back, and they said when he come back, he was just so different. He was so hard. He was so bitter. And he would go out in the fields at night and just cry. You'd hear him praying and crying, carrying on at night. But after they caught him behind enemy lines and captured him, there was a little boy there. And he thought, I'll pick up that little boy and I'll run, and they won't shoot at me because I've got that little boy. And my granddaddy picked up that little boy and ran to escape. And they shot, and that little boy got hit and died in his arms. And I sat in my rocking chair that day, and I wet my face and my shirt. I said, Lord God, I didn't know he'd ever went through nothing like that. So a lot of times when people fall out, we just call them sorry. When they fall out, we say they never did get it. But I'll tell you one mark, and I've done left my way for a minute. I'll get back. But one mark of a true Christian is that you have a heart for your brothers and sisters. sisters. If you see somebody overtaken in a thought, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Not everybody that's quit church needs to get saved. Some of them just need to be restored. Not everybody that just falls out and gets weak and weary, oh, they ain't got what they... That's not always the case for him. But my dad, I was a patient man. But he was taught to work, and so he just worked every day to become a workaholic. And I wanted my daddy to go to church with me so bad until one day God answered that prayer. And Bill came. Bill was about like Dad, good moral man, just wasn't faithful to church, went Easter and Christmas and whenever his wife would beg him. And one day Dad told Bill out there in the yard, I'm going to church with my family. And Dad went that day and he ain't never quit. And I'm so thankful for that. But my dad's not a shouter. And I've worried. I thought, does my dad really have it? Does my dad, he don't express a lot. And I just got to thinking about him. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. That's what I'm getting to. It's a fruit of the Spirit. A lot of these things are fruits that come in the life of the believer. If you will add to, God will make you fruitful. And that's part of the context here. But I just got to thinking about my dad, and the Lord let me know that there's more fruits of the Spirit than just shouting. More fruits of Spirit than that. He said, your dad's got some fruit. And that's what we look for. We look for fruit. And that's what God wants you to have in your life is fruit. Fruit. And he said, add to your faith patience. Patience is, now this is big to me, it's the ability to tolerate delay. That means you don't lose your religion in the traffic jam. Amen. You don't lose your religion in the traffic jam. You don't lose your religion in the delay when things ain't happening like you think they ought to. When life's going slower than you think. See, we're tested. See, our faith's tried. If we want to come through, we've got to add to it. We've got to make our faith strong. The Lord mentions this in the Bible. There's little faith mentioned. Oh, you have little faith. Then there's great faith mentioned. Amen. So there's people with a lot of faith and there's people with a little faith. The Bible tells us take the whole armor of God, and one of those pieces of armor is the shield of faith. And if I got a shield and I'm going to quench the fiery darts of the devil, I don't want a little old shield about like this, because you look at me, I can't hide behind it. I got to have a big one. And that's because I want to have big faith. See what I'm saying? I want to have a big shield, and that's what God wants for you. Because you're going to be tried. He's going to throw darts at you from every direction. I'm not saying that to discourage you. I'm saying that to prepare you. It'd be a battle. Living for the Lord's a battle. And you're saved, and God will put you in His army and make you a soldier for the cross. And that's what we want you to be, a good soldier for the cross. Patience is the ability to tolerate delay or trouble or go through suffering without getting angry and upset. I need patience. How about you? I preached to you all week, but I can tell you, Brother Yoakley needs patience. Amen. That's one thing I need more of. I could take some more. Amen. So add to your faith patience. It'll be very beneficial to you. Add to patience godliness. That means to be devoutly religious. Now we know that salvation is more than religion. There's a lot of religious people that don't have salvation. Have you ever wondered what possesses these people to be faithful to a building? I mean, all the time. They go. But they don't possess. They don't have it. See, that's religion. There's religious formality. Some people's drive to go to church is because they hold a position in the community. And they're going to go because it looks good.
Right.
It might get them a vote. Y'all got them in Burnsville, I'll guarantee it. Back home, they'll go to running for something, and all of a sudden, they're faithful. They're religious. That's not pure religion. The book of James says pure religion and undefiled before God is to visit the fatherless and the widows and their afflictions. In the Word of God, you'll use religion a lot of times. You'll see that they had the Jews' religion. Boy, they was religious. He said they won't eat without washing their hands. He said they won't do this on the Sabbath. They won't do that. Man, they're real strict. They're real religious. But he said, I can open you up and look down your throat, and it's like rolling a stone away from an old sepulcher. He said, I smelled death. He said, the outside of the cup looks good, but the inside is dirty. He said, the outside, he said, your whited walls, your whited sepulchres, your throat is an open sepulchre. He said, all you've got is an outward religion. But I want to tell you what happens when a man gets saved. God, Jeff Tolbert was saying in years coming up, he performed a surgery in my heart. And that's what God does for an individual when he's born again. God goes in and does a work in the very center core of his being, in his heart, and God works it out. The physicians of our day and all through, they have to start out and work their way in. But God starts in and works his way out. And that's what he's wanting to do in your life. He's wanting for the whole world to see Jesus in you. And you need to add devout, you need to add godliness to your life. We got prosperity preachers. They had them in Paul's day, evidently. Because Paul said that they preach that prosperity is godliness. Amen. That gain is godliness. Paul said that ain't so, because some have went after gain and they've went after riches and they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So I want to tell you, be careful at the job of taking the overtime to get ahead. It'll take you away from the house of God. That's just simple right there, but it'll be of a great blessing. Be careful of these things. Be devoutly religious. That just means be faithful to your service for God. Don't just pray at church, pray at home. Don't just hear the Bible when the preacher preaches it, but read it. Be religious. A religious person has a practice. He has a habitual practice of something in his life, and the Lord wants that for you. He wants you to have godliness about your life. I'll tell you what godliness is and what gain. They thought gain was godliness, but he said godliness with contentment is gain. So if you got godliness and the contentment, what are we to be content with? Food and raiment, just what we need. The most happy people in the world have got God, and they know if they got Him, clothes on their back, shoes on their feet, they got all they need to make themselves happy. And they are the happiest people. They're the most free people. They can serve God because they're not so tied up with everything. We need that in our day. Godliness. Add to godliness, brotherly kindness. It said that brotherly kindness was the extension of the natural affection associated with near kin. Like I said, this fellow comes to our church. He said, I can't explain it. But he said, y'all people down there at the church are closer than my own kin to me. And it says this. It said, it is that toward a greater community, which is the fellowship of believers. And that's what a church is. He said, add to your faith brotherly kindness. The Bible tells us to do good to all men, but especially those that are of the household of faith. Be good to one another. Jesus said, love one another even as I've loved you. Brotherly kindness stems from brotherly love. The church at Philadelphia, Philadelphia means brotherly love. The Hebrews were told to let brotherly love continue because they was in such persecution that they'd come in a day much like our day, that there wasn't much love. And they didn't trust nobody. Amen. They didn't trust one another. They wasn't helping one another. The Bible says, because iniquity shall abound in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. And I'm telling you, if you'd be honest with yourself in this old cold world, you don't see much brotherly love. Right. Neighbors used to help neighbors. Neighbors used to help neighbors. And we still have. It ain't over yet, but y'all know that it is not as prominent as it once was. Got to add that to your faith. Add brotherly love to your faith. Build a relationship with brothers and sisters. Amen. Brother Jacob's my brother now. I just knew him as just what I'd seen him. But Brother Logan would say, Jacob helped me do this. Jacob helped me do that. I'd say, Jacob might make you a good deacon one day. Brother Jacob, that may be one day. You might make a good deacon here someday. If you'll add these things to your life, this church may call on you. You say, don't say such as that, preacher. Why can't I? Why can't I? Ain't it needed in our day? Ain't it so needed in our day? Churches are so desperate back home, they don't look for no qualifications. If they can just find any man in the church that's the husband of one wife, they'll ordain him. They don't care nothing about the rest of his moral character when there's many more qualifications than that. It's the same way with a preacher. There's more to it than that. Amen. I'd be all day here talking about all this. But brotherly love needs to continue. Add that to your life. If you get a little extra time, say, Lord, is there a brother or sister in the church I can check on? Is there somebody that I can help? Is there an elderly person that the chores of life aren't as easy as they once was? Can I go assist? Can I build a relationship? Nursing homes are full of people that belong to these churches all through these hills, and I know one of the circumstances that a lot of pastors have been hindered and people have been hindered with all these crazy restrictions, and I don't know whether they're all legitimate or not. I know it's a mess, but friend, when we have the opportunity to do it, we ought to do it. When the Lord opens the door, we ought to do it. Amen. Reach out. This man asked me one time, I pastored a large church at one time, and he asked me, he said, how's that big old church doing? He didn't know I was gone. He let me know that the sister that lived down on the corner was still a member up there and had nobody checked on her. I said, that's a shame. I didn't tell him I wasn't there. I didn't say anything. But that's a shame. Y'all think, see, that's a lacking of brotherly love. That's a lacking of care. See, when God saves you, He joins you to His people. And we become one in Christ. And oh, how we need it today. How we need it today. The church is not the building, but the church is the people. They went out and investigated. They did an interview, this guy did. I shouldn't say investigate. An interview of this people they consider to be a cult. They'd somewhat went off the grid, built a fence. They all lived in what they call a compound. And they was walking around. They considered these people to be religious. And I don't know anything about their doctrine, but they said, where's your church? Where's your church? And they was looking for a little building, no doubt, with a steeple. Here's what they said. He said, we are the church. You know, I can say amen to that. We are the church. We're the church on Monday. We're the church on Tuesday. We're the church in assembly now. But as we disperse and go out into the world, we are the church. We reflect the church. If you're a member of Gospel Way Baptist Church, wherever you go, reflects on the church. Amen. You can make it a place that somebody desires to come because say, hey, them good people down there. Them straight up people. Be one of them. Be one of them. Add to your faith brotherly kindness and then charity. And that's, if you know, some people would say lastly, but add to your faith charity. Charity is love in action. Charity is not just saying it, but charity is doing it. Charity is the follow through. Charity is one of the things that He's talking about tongues. He's talking about knowledge ceasing, tongues are failing, and all these things. Now we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is done in part, when that which is perfect has come, then we'll, you know, now we see through a glass darkly there in the book of Corinthians and all these things, but it gets on down, it says, now these three abide, faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity. If you read in that text, it says, charity never fails. Charity never fails. And if you'll add that to your life, it'll keep you from being a failure in your Christian walk. You don't want to be saved and get down to the end and look back and say, Lord, I made a mess. No, God has equipped you with the ability to be productive and say, it's been a good journey, Lord. I'm happy with how you've helped me. He said, if these things be in you, if virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, if virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity be in you, He said, it will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you don't do this, I'm telling you right now, if you don't do this, he that lacketh these things is blind. Now my sister would be borderline considered legally blind. She can see. But he said, there's degrees of blindness, you know. It says he can't see far off. And it'll make you where he can't. Listen, if you couldn't see far off. Listen, if you couldn't see past COVID, you'd be miserable, wouldn't you? If you couldn't see past. If you go to the work in the morning, you couldn't see past quitting time. Wouldn't it be rough? If you couldn't see past Friday, have the weekend to look forward to. See what I'm talking about? Can't see far off. Can't see the victory. He's always in defeat. He ain't bearing no fruit. And he just gets cold. I believe he's saved, but he lacks these things. He has not added to his faith, and he gets weak, and he's forgotten that he's even purged from his old sin. He's overcome by doubt. He's overcome by failure. He's not a good witness for the Lord. And nobody even really knows whether he's in or out. And he don't even know himself, according to what I've read. And out at the workplace, he don't bring up the subject of the Lord. Somebody else got to bring it up. He's not ever living in the present tense that he's saved now. He's not living in Canaan now. He's not living in victory now. It's a person that has not added to their faith. They got on the rock, but they never built up. In Hebrews, let us go on unto perfection, which is spiritual maturity. I'd say, take what God give you and go on with it. And build on the rock. Build your house, do what he says, and the winds are going to blow regardless, and the rain's going to come regardless. But if you're built on the rock, found on the rock, built upon Jesus Christ, you can stand the test. You can stand the test. That's the message that I felt like God put on my heart today. It's not much. It ain't been big. It ain't been shouting. But I promise you, if you'll do these things, you'll never fall. According to the Word of God. If you do these things, you'll never fall. So add to your faith. If I come back in 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years, I hope you can tell me some experiences that you've had with God. I hope you can tell me about some crossings. I hope you can tell me about some stones that you've laid up in your life. I laid one up over here where I got a prayer through, preacher. I went through this trial, preacher, and God brought me through. And I done like what was the man that took the stone. God said, take the stone, and he put it under that oak. And he poured that oil on it. And he named it Ebenezer. And he said, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And lay up some stones, not for your own self, but for those around you. If you've got children, lay them up. And said, he said, when your children pass by, say, what mean these stones? Tell them. Say, God brought me through. God did this for me. Add to your faith. Add to your faith. It is the Christian life that God wants you to have. God don't want you living in defeat. God wants you living in victory. Amen. God don't want you complaining. Even though I've done it. And I've said, Lord, I'm sorry. God wants you bragging on Him. God wants you to know how good you got it. And you've got it good. You've got it good. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved, ain't you? I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad that I have been born again. I feel like it's been a weak effort this morning. But I do know that I've been faithful in what the Lord laid on my heart. I want you to know that there's a preacher that passed through your life that loves you. And I don't expect perfection and just out of nobody. But I just want you to know that salvation is such a real thing that will prove itself to you and other people that Jesus is in your life. Peter and John, James, Peter and them, they walked, and they were ignorant and unlearned. They weren't, the people looked at them and they said, these men are ignorant and unlearned, but there's just one thing they said we cannot deny. They have been with Jesus. And I want the world to know I've been with Jesus. I believe the world does know because of Him, not because of me, that I have been with Jesus. And I want you to know I've got confidence in you. I want you to know I love you as a people, as a church. Brother Logan, such a dear friend. I appreciate you. It's been wonderful to be here. Add to your faith. If you'll do these things, you'll never fall. You'll be fruitful. You'll bring honor to the one that saved your soul. You'll be a good witness for Him. And that is the goal in the end, to be a light that others might see.